Good evening, everyone. And welcome back to another exciting episode of Red Pill News Live. I hope you got your vapes ready, unless you're under the age of 18, and then you probably shouldn't vape. But if you're already older and you're trying to quit smoking, vaping's awesome. But if you don't vape, don't vape. It's no big deal. Anyways, listen, I had a tough time putting the show together today because there's a lot of news. I think we might have just scored a major win on FISA, unless something else was reported in the last 15 minutes that I don't know about. But there was a couple of ups and downs today. We got some potential news about Julian Assange, a couple of wins on so-called gun control. We've got former Biden administration officials caught on audio, and James O'Keefe and the people at O'Keefe Media Group exposing the Federal Reserve with another example of honeypot journalism. We're going to open with that one because I haven't even had a chance to see it yet. Oh, man. If you guys, if you wouldn't mind, please do me a favor. Hit that like button. It's free. It's simple. It's easy. It's the quickest way you can let everyone in the world, everyone on Rumble, know that this is a show worth watching. I get on the leaderboard if I get enough people to like the show. So sit back, relax, grab your popcorn. We're going to be right back after this. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. Citibank warned the soft landing dream is over. The U.S. economy is headed for a recession in the middle of 2024. Morgan Stanley warns a U.S. dollar regime shift could threaten stocks. And meanwhile, the Fed's most trusted recession indicator is flashing code red, because every recession since 1945 has been preceded by a yield curve inversion. Meanwhile, the M2 money supply is meaningfully contracting for only the fifth time since 1870. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs, and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots Protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel.
11, standing by.
Red 5, standing by.
Red 5, standing by. Red 5, standing by. I saw that. I saw that in the chat, Chrono. Oh, man. So, yes, honeypotting has been extremely successful throughout history. It's one of the first things they teach you in spy school. I guess I'm just a little bit surprised that it took us, took the good guys this long to pick up on it. Of course, you know, in terms of espionage and in the world of spying, you know, white hats, black hats, I mean, I'm sure they've been using honeypotting for all manner of snares to get people to admit things or to do things. But journalism, it's a brand new thing in journalism, and I absolutely love to see it. Oh, well, thank you very much, everybody, for hanging out with us today. I'm sincerely appreciating each and every one of you. I'm very excited to get started with today's show. Thank you again to everybody for keeping the chats comfy. One more time, if you haven't hit that like button, please do so. You can hit the like button if you're on Apple TV, if you're on Roku, if you're on Android, if you're on Apple, no matter where you are. All you do is hit that like button. I'm also working on creating a 1 minute loop to play when I schedule the streams that just says over and over again, the show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern. Thank you for showing up early. Hit the like button. The show starts at 5 p.m. Eastern. Come back in 3 hours. But other than that, I think we should just get right into Mr. James O'Keefe and Project Veritas taking their hidden camera expose inside the walls of the Federal Reserve. Here in this report, they capture an economist at the Federal Reserve discussing Jerome Powell's legacy as someone who held the line against Trump. Isn't that interesting? I think that's not surprising. I mean, certainly most career Washington bureaucrats showed themselves to be a part of the resistance movement. Never mind what's good for the nation. Never mind what's good for the people of this country. Obviously, monetary policy is not based around what's good for the people. It's based around what's good for the American oligarchy. So let's go ahead and check out this report. I'm actually going to need to refresh the screen so we can start at the beginning.
Right now, I'm preparing for something. I'm going to do a talk to the Fed board.
Meet Harel Hiesmo. He's a principal economist working inside the Federal Reserve.
So you write speeches for Powell?
Yeah, like for, you know, certain paragraphs.
I'm just really worried that I'm saying stuff.
Okay, so first things first. This one is not a Grindr date. This appears to be a woman meeting with a man, Harel Hiesmo. Principal Economist, Real Estate Finance Section, and Research and Statistics Federal Reserve Board. Sounds like he writes the speeches for Mr. Jerome Powell. Let's continue.
Stuff that's classified.
Do you deal with classified stuff?
It's all classified. Right?
Quote, it's all classified.
It's all classified.
Trump is it's a crazy person. It's very clear. I mean, he's a dumb guy.
Does he hate Trump? It, like, is the feeling neutral?
Yeah. Of course.
Okay.
Yeah. And Trump was president. He wanted to stimulate the economy.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. And he started raising interest rates and doing the opposite that Trump wanted. So the feeling is this.
Whoa, did you hear that? Jerome Powell directly defying the orders of the president, refusing to stimulate the economy. He artificially repressed the economy. Knowing that, can you imagine how much better our lives might have been economically under President Trump? As good as they were, they could have been even better if President Trump would have had his way. But of course, Jerome Powell had to go with the deep state and stop the efforts of Donald Trump to make America great again. Not surprised in the slightest.
We don't want Trump to be in government.
Right.
Harel Hiesmo, principal economist for the Federal Reserve, says Jerome Powell wants to go down in history as someone who, quote, held the line against Donald Trump, unquote.
He's doing it for the legacy. He wants to be remembered in history as somebody who held the line against, like Trump and like somebody who like helped the economy.
So he wants to preserve his legacy as someone, even though he's Republican on paper, Democrats don't want him.
Yeah, because he's responsive. Maybe like under Powell, the Fed has changed to think about equity issues, like racial issues, think about wealth inequality as part of the mandate, as part of the things we're following.
Yep.
Think about climate change.
Harel Hiesmo says, quote, people think conservatives are dumb.
That's like, generally speaking, like the first thing that I want to know about when I step into my financial institution. And I'm worried about interest rates, but I'm also worried about their commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion. Are they going to ensure that my carbon footprint is directly reduced by the size of my loan? I wonder.
And that the, quote, Federal Reserve would discriminate against those conservatives depending on how out there they are.
People think they're dumb. Like,
yeah. Would they be like discriminated against?
I mean, it depends on like how like out there they are.
I mean, isn't that against the law? Isn't that against the law to directly discriminate against someone based upon their political beliefs or because of the way they identify? I'm a Mogadonian, okay? If I walked in and I said, hey, you know, I represent myself as a cat. Do you have a litter box so I can take a crap in it while I'm here getting a loan? And they discriminated against me. Well, I'm pretty sure that would be illegal. They are obviously doing the same thing to conservatives.
He's doing it for the legacy. As somebody who held the line against like Trump.
In today's unpredictable world, it's all about being prepared for who.
So you're now a predator.
Pay $45 per kit when you order using the code OMG. Go to twc.health/OMG today.
Are you a senior researcher or economist? What's your title?
So I came here as a senior economist, and now I'm principal economist.
So you're now a principal economist.
Yeah. You know, so right now I'm preparing for something. I'm going to do a talk to the Fed board.
And what's your expertise?
Good luck. Something tells me he's not going to be there much longer.
What's your specialty? Sorry.
I was a finance professor.
Meet Harel Hiesmo. He's a principal economist working inside the Federal Reserve. Harel says he's a former finance professor and is called on as a subject matter expert to write speeches for Jerome Powell, the chairman of the Board of Governors for the Federal Reserve. The Federal Reserve is the central banking system of the United States. Their main duties include national monetary policy, supervising and regulating banks, and maintaining financial stability. Our subject disclosed details in regards to his roles within the Federal Reserve.
I have to write a speech for Powell now.
Uh-huh.
And then he puts his own flair on it.
So you write speeches for Powell?
That's one of them.
Okay.
I'm not like a speech writer, but like, we have the topic that, you know, that you might help asking.
You said you are one of the people who helps to write speeches for him.
Yeah, like for, you know, certain paragraphs. So like they get grilled by Congress on all kinds of different topics.
Uh-huh.
And we have to prepare them.
We looked up the speech, and it was about the Federal Open Market Committee just a few weeks ago in March of 2024.
Today, the FOMC decided to leave our policy interest rate unchanged and to continue to reduce our securities holdings. Our restrictive stance of monetary policy has been putting downward pressure on economic activity and inflation. As labor market tightness has eased and progress on inflation has continued, the risks to achieving our employment and inflation goals are moving into better balance.
On that note, I think it's important to mention that inflation numbers just came out and they are wildly inflated, much, much higher than they were hoping they were going to be. It's part of our series of stories today, and it's one of the reasons that the vast majority of Americans are going to make sure that come November, they vote for Donald John Trump. Anybody but Joseph Robinette Biden Jr., the current resident of 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
Talked about how he worked on the section of the speech regarding the Fed's portfolio.
By the way, after our last date, I actually went and I watched the whole speech that he gave. How gave?
Oh my God.
Wait, I want to know, which section did you help him write?
I wrote a particular section. It's like the FOMC gathers, they make some decisions, and then we all get together and say, you know, let's summarize this. And then it goes into like five different rounds of edits for different people. So like by the time, If I'm working on the Fed's, say, ideas about like what are they going to do with, say like what are they going to buy more with their portfolio side.
The FOMC, or Federal Open Market Committee, reviews economic and financial conditions, determines the appropriate stance of monetary policy, and assesses the risk to its long-term goals of price stability.
So the Fed has a portfolio of treasuries and ETFs. So anything that has to do with that, like I have to be involved. Is that right there?
Like you have to get involved. In what way?
To that particular product? In two ways. First, before they make the decision, they need to know what is happening and what, if they make the decision, like what could happen afterwards. Let me just use a non-Fed example, because I'm just really worried that I'm saying stuff like stuff that's classified. Like I just don't want to.
Let me also say, like, I'm wondering how this could be classified, considering the fact that the Federal Reserve is not like an actual branch of the federal government. Classified to whom? Who are they answering to? Who do they not want to reveal information about? That's the question.
Okay. So do you deal with classified stuff?
It's all classified.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Harel, principal economist at the Federal Reserve, states, quote, "It's all classified." Now, the Federal Reserve is known for its lack of transparency. Make some of the most important policies that impact American finances and day-to-day lives of all Americans. Harel, principal economist for the Federal Reserve, goes on to speak about Jerome Powell's relationship with Donald Trump,
Trump is just a crazy person. It's very clear. I mean, he's a dumb guy. Like,
what?
I mean, just like what you'd say about him. Like, that is,
what?
The same thing as you'd say about Trump, you would say. Like, Trump is just weird. Like,
weird? Or
just stupid?
Oh, you're a liberal, right?
I'm a big Trumper.
No.
But I'm a liberal.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're Biden, right?
What do you mean you're Biden?
Like, you support Biden.
I do, yeah.
Okay.
Like Trump hates him. Trump wanted to fire him, like,
yeah.
But he couldn't because he's independent.
Does he hate Trump? And, like, is the feeling
yeah,
neutral?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah. So Trump nominated him and Congress approved it.
Andre says, hey, Zach, I hope you're well. I am going to email you later to share some info that you may be interested in, but I can't verify the validity and I don't want to spread misinformation. Absolutely. Definitely, Andre. Good to see you, buddy. Please definitely send that over when we're done. And let me just also say that my favorite part of Trump 2.0 is going to be when he comes in back into Washington and they just rake everyone over the coals. Use a scythe or perhaps a samurai sword just to start chopping necks and removing people from their positions in the federal government. Just get rid of all of them. Fire them. Fire them. Get rid of them.
As soon as he became chair, Trump wanted him to lower interest rates.
Uh-huh.
Giving lower interest rates
right.
to stimulate the economy.
Yeah.
And Trump was president. He wanted to stimulate the economy.
Right.
But he wouldn't do it. And he started raising interest rates. Doing the opposite that Trump wanted. Trump tried to like find all the loopholes to fire him.
So they don't get along?
No.
So does he get along with Biden?
He does, with the Biden administration.
Yeah.
Biden would want the interest rates to go lower.
Yep.
At the same time, he doesn't want inflation.
Okay.
Inflation is bad. Everybody's complaining
but
about
inflation is not really an issue anymore, is it?
Well, that's because we've been increasing rates for a little while.
But you think inflation is still a problem for us right now?
Not at the moment.
Aurel Hismo, principal economist for the Federal Reserve, says Jerome Powell wants to go down in history as someone who, quote, held the line against Donald Trump, unquote.
He's doing it for the legacy. He wants to be remembered in history as like.
You think
And this is one of the major problems in Washington, D.C. People get involved in politics. They get jobs within these bureaucracies, not for the right reasons, not because they want to serve the American people, but because they want to serve their own ego. They want to serve their own legacy. They want to be remembered for going down in history as something important. I'll tell you what the most important thing you could do as a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. Make decisions that benefit the people of this nation. Simple, easy peasy, 1, 2, 3, easy. That's why Donald Trump is so loved, because Donald Trump sacrificed everything to become the president of the United States so that he could represent the people. That's something we have not seen in Washington, D.C. in many, many, many years.
Be remembered for what he's done. He wants to go down in history.
Yeah.
As what?
As somebody who held the line. Against like Trump and like somebody who like helped the economy out of COVID.
All right. So, Joan, you are not wrong in saying that the Federal Reserve is a private institution and the president actually nominates the Fed governor, the chair of the Fed. So there is a way for there is like this really strange connection between the Federal Reserve and the United States government. OK, so they are not part of the United States government, but they control the monetary policy of the United States government. Their positions are appointed through a bureaucratic process within the United States government. So I'm certain that President Trump, if he wanted to, could find a way to replace Jerome Powell.
I mean, it's pretty amazing we haven't had a recession, to be honest.
Right.
After COVID, everything shut down, and the economy just keep going up, stock market is going up.
So he wants to preserve his legacy
as a savior
for America and kept us out of a recession and fought against Trump.
Yeah. And you know, like,
there's all kinds of stuff that comes to his desk that he says no, because this is going to jeopardize the legacy of the Fed or my legacy as a chair.
Yeah.
Aurel Hismo speaks to how Jerome Powell doesn't want to create a recession during an election year.
He is slow rolling the solution, basically.
Well, because he doesn't want to create a recession.
Okay. So he knows how to fix it.
Well,
so to speak.
I mean, he doesn't know, but like, it's like, he doesn't want to make any, like, imagine you're a doctor and you're trying to like give somebody a dose or something. You give them a little bit to see how.
Also, I just looked it up, and the president does have the legal authority, per the law of the United States of America, to remove a member of the Board of Governors, which includes Jerome Powell, who would be the chairman and the head of the Fed.
Yeah, can you give them a little more?
Yeah.
You can give them a big dose, but then they get huge side effects.
I see.
So that's the worry. Like, the side effect is a recession. I mean, the economy can crash.
Right. And obviously, he wouldn't want that during an election year.
Or, I mean, he
would.
Because
that would hurt Biden, right?
He wouldn't want it any time.
Yeah.
Because a recession means people lose, like, their homes, and people will, like, lose their jobs. And people might die, like, from, you know, homelessness or, like, medical bills. Or, like, it's a big, you know, it's people's lives.
Aurel Hismo, principal economist at the Federal Reserve, says, quote, people think conservatives are dumb and that the, quote, Federal Reserve would discriminate against those conservatives depending on how out there they are, unquote.
Yeah, I don't think there are any conservatives in D.C.
Do you work with any?
I don't think so. All the people I work with are academics.
Do you think they'll be treated differently in your organization?
Some people think they're dumb. Like,
yeah. Would they be, like, discriminated against?
I mean, it depends on, like, how, like, out there they are. So the problem with Trump is that can't have, like, Trump's voters are not voting for him for logical reasons. So, I mean, so the feeling is this, that, like...
This is another problem with Washington, D.C. These ivory-towered liberal elites, they don't know what life is like for the average everyday person. So they simply can't conceptualize why someone would want to vote for Donald Trump. They look at him and they see an existential threat to their way of life and to the power that they've been able to put together. The American people look at Donald Trump and they see a way out from that power structure that the liberal elites have set up and maintained for so long.
We don't want Trump to be in government,
right?
But if he comes, we're still going to try to do the best we can for the country. Now, if he messes up, he does something stupid, then we have to, like, fix it. So he, like, removed a lot of regulations and stripped that, and made it that entity, like, really weak. So now the Fed has to be like, oh, we have to kind of, like, do something more to regulate.
To counter what he did. Basically to offset what...
Yeah.
Sorry, to offset what Trump did.
Yeah.
So you guys basically introduced a new regulation to basically sit on top of his.
Yeah. Well, sit on top of the stuff that he stripped.
I've had it with all my personal and private information being exposed and exploited. OMG.
Aurel Hismo, principal economist at the Federal Reserve, talks about how the Federal Reserve has changed to think about environmental issues, equity issues, and racial equality.
Even though he's Republican on paper, Democrats don't love him.
Yeah, because he's responsive. Under Powell, the Fed has changed to think about equity issues, like racial issues, think about wealth inequality as part of the mandate, as part of the issue of Fallen.
Yep.
Think about climate change.
What has Powell done with climate change?
So he hasn't done anything himself, but, like, he creates an environment to foster, like, research in that area, to foster discussion in the area where, like, it's a friendly environment where we can hire client scientists.
Aurel Hismo, principal economist at the Federal Reserve, says Jerome Powell is responsive, but the question is, responsive to whom or what exactly?
To whom?
We're establishing in this video that the Federal Reserve is not just determining interest rates, but making policies for desired policy outcomes. So who is determining which of these issues to push? Equity and climate change are known as ESG issues, global issues, and they've been shown to be bad for the bottom line. Why is the Federal Reserve implementing these policies, and how is it impacting society at large? This video is part of an ongoing...
And please tell me, because I fail to see any logical reason why you would hire a climate scientist at the Federal Reserve, at an institution that controls monetary policy. How does climate science figure into that? I mean, I think it's an easy answer. It doesn't. And so it's just another big waste of money. Now, speaking of honeypot journalism, I thought we should check in and see what was going on with that story from Sound Investigations we reported on yesterday. This is the one where the former FBI agent and current CIA contract officer, who's in a perpetual lifetime position, he said, admitted that the agency and the bureau went after Alex Jones, went after him hardcore, he said, cut him off at the legs, took all of his money. Well, now, as a result of that report, InfoWars founder and current host Alex Jones says he's planning on suing the Central Intelligence Agency after the release of that sting operation where this grinder guy thought he was going to get some dirty later that night and decided to start bragging about the efforts the federal government engages in to go after average everyday citizens simply because they don't like the political speech they're uttering. This employee is a CIA contract officer. He's in San Diego. His name is Gavin O'Blenis. And he said, you can kind of put anyone in jail if you know what to do. Most people would call that entrapment. And certainly in the court system that we used to have here in the United States, judges and juries would have looked at it exactly the same way. He said, you set them up. You create the situation to where they have no choice but to act on their own impulse. And once they act on that impulse, some would call that entrapment. As I said yesterday, it's like people coming into the chat and Fed posting, saying that we need to go do something illegal. We need to go take someone's life. We need to go commit acts of overt violence. Those statements are illegal and they can be perceived as such, especially if there are other agents of intelligence agencies or law enforcement organizations who just happen to be waiting in the chat, looking to see who responds favorably when someone says we need to cut off this person's head or something to that effect. He said nothing like putting out a fake social media thing to like really get people mad. And I am always, always preaching to you guys about cooling down on social media. This is why I specifically don't spend time on social media and don't get involved in petty squabbles on there. Because you never know. You never know who it is that you're going to be getting into an argument with. Is that a real person with a real ideological foundation? Or is it simply another federal agent who's looking to get you riled up and waste your time so that you're not focused on the job at hand, so you're not focused on what's really important? Now, when asked who the CIA has messed with, that's when O'Blanis mentioned Alex Jones. He implied that the agency was directly involved in Alex Jones' lawsuit with the Sandy Hook families. They actually were encouraged by the CIA to go after Alex Jones and to take all of his money. We just say there's no federal statute being broken, but you have the option for a civil case, and it's pretty good in our opinion. And I would bet that they probably set them up free of charge with the best legal representation possible. And then, of course, because they are an intelligence agency and a federal law enforcement organization, they probably have all manner of dossiers, intelligence, and information about Alex Jones and exactly where to go to look for discovery materials. So, following the release of this footage, which I said initially and from the very start, I think this is genuine. I can't believe anybody would say that this wouldn't be genuine. It seemed to me like a Fed tactic to come in here and say, oh, no, no. This isn't real. Why would this guy admit on a date where he thinks he's going to get laid what he's doing in real life? Why would the mask come off when someone thinks they're going to go get a little bit of hanky-panky later that night? I mean, this is exactly what happens. You guys ever been on a date? You ever been in a position where you're chatting it up with somebody who you think you're having a really good time with? You're really vibing. You start talking about the things you believe and what you're interested in. I mean, come on. This is exactly what happens. People open up when they think that sex is involved. And this is why honeypots are so effective. This is why the federal government and spy agencies all around the world use sex to entrap people and to get them into positions where they are compromised. And it's not just adult sex. They will also use children for this very purpose as well. They will entrap someone, make them look like a pedophile. They might not think they're with someone who's underage. They may not actually be with someone who's underage. But all the CIA has to do is get some pictures of a relatively nubile young girl, tell the person that, hey, guess what? This was a 16-year-old girl, and now we got pictures of you doing this, and you better do exactly what we say. Otherwise, we're going to expose you as a pedophile. Or they might even, because they are sick, sick bastards, they might even use a real child to compromise someone who doesn't have any idea what's going on. All they have to do is place someone who's young in the proximity of a person who appears to be compromised, get the pictures, get the video, and then they can use it in a way that is totally dishonest. And then, of course, we all know there are plenty of real pedophiles in Washington, D.C., and in governments all around the world. And so those, they don't even have to be coerced. All they have to be doing is to be promised the use of children anytime they want to. Children that likely never come out the other side. Children who likely are never going to see the light of day. There are tens of thousands of children that go missing on a regular basis, and those children end up somewhere. They don't just end up on the back of a milk carton. Oftentimes, they're probably going to be ending up in the hole in somebody's backyard, or they're going to be ending up in a hole in the desert, or perhaps they're going to be dropped at the bottom of the ocean. There are dead bodies all over this planet, and the Central Intelligence Agency and the other law enforcement organizations at helm of the deep state, they've got all of those holes covered. They know exactly where to go to get rid of somebody. So now, Alex Jones, said that Gavin Blennis needs to be subpoenaed by Congress. I believe the same thing. I'm hoping that as a result of this report coming out, we're going to have someone with some bravery and some oversight call them in and get Gavin Blennis on the record. I'm planning to launch a lawsuit against the CIA and the FBI. We have to bring all of this out. And right as my bankruptcy comes to a close and right as all this stuff is being finalized, it's really God's work working right here that this came out at this time. So I wish Alex Jones all the best. All the best. I hope that he is successful in his lawsuits against the Central Intelligence Agency and the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And even better, I hope that by the time we roll around to this point next year, maybe the CIA and the FBI won't even exist anymore. Maybe there'll be something completely different. Maybe those fifth columns will have been knocked down and those houses will no longer be standing. Well, unfortunately for the former Trump CFO, the chief financial officer, he just got word that he's going to be jailed for 5 months for perjury. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've seen in my years reporting. Cherokee says they liquefy them. They very well likely may. I mean, that seems to be pretty effective. So Alan Weisselberg just learned he's going to be going to jail for 5 months for perjury because he admitted that he lied to prosecutors as they investigated President Trump for fraudulently inflating his wealth. Now, Weisselberg is a 76-year-old man. He's an accountant, if I'm not mistaken. He's somebody with no criminal record. He's somebody who has never done anything wrong in his life other than work for Donald Trump. For shame. For shame, Alan Weisselberg. He was the chief financial officer of President Trump's real estate and entertainment group between 2005 and 2021. Now, he was forced to plead guilty to two counts of perjury. This is related to the 2020 questioning during that initial fraud probe. And of course, this is coming less than a week before President Trump himself is due to go on trial for allegedly covering up these hush money payments to hide a sex scandal. Blue Demon 75 says, here's a little for your vape fund. Have a great day and weekend. Thank you so much, Blue Demon. I appreciate you. So, in return for admitting that he lied when discussing President Trump's valuation of his New York penthouse apartment, Weisselberg agreed with prosecutors to be sentenced to a lesser term of 5 months imprisonment. Now, the offenses that he was charged for carried prison terms of up to 7 years, so he could have gone away for a lot longer. And can you really blame the guy? He's 76 years old. Now, prosecutors also agreed not to seek any further charges against Mr. Weisselberg, linked to his time at the Trump Organization. On February 16th, that's when President Trump was hit with that $355 million penalty. Obviously, it's become a lot more now with interest because they found that he was fraudulently manipulating the value of his properties to obtain favorable conditions on loans and insurance. I would say, and I think the vast majority of Americans would say, that Judge Arthur the Ashtray in Gorin was fraudulently deflating the values of Trump's properties so that he could go after him for that $355 million verdict. Now, Weiselberg had previously served time behind bars at Rikers Island for his role in a corporate tax fraud for which the Trump company was fined $1.6 million. And here is where he's going to serve out the latest sentence. He personally himself also was fined $2 million because he pled guilty and agreed to testify in the trial of Trump's company. Now, Weiselberg's testimony helped prosecutors gain the conviction against the Trump Organization and their sister firm, Trump Payroll Corp, on 17 similar fraud and tax evasion charges that involved the falsifying of business records. Now, although he testified against the company, Weiselberg did not implicate President Trump, and of course, he is running for office again here in 2024. Alan Weiselberg looks forward to putting this situation behind him. I bet he does. I hope that he remains safe behind bars. I don't know that this is going to be a safe environment for him. I mean, these New York prisons are notorious for things happening to you in the middle of the night. So keep your eyes open for Alan Weiselberg to not kill himself in the near future. Thank you to Porpoiseful and to 123SKG for the cookies. I appreciate you guys. Now, here's a bit of interesting information. Seems that Joe Biden is perhaps contemplating dropping the charges against Julian Assange. This is now the second time in the last month that we've heard something similar. So the real question is, are Department of Justice representatives now having conversations with the legal team for Julian Assange? If you remember, back in February, Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese supported a motion from Parliament calling for the return of Assange to Australia. And just earlier today, a reporter had asked Joe Biden about that request from Prime Minister Albanese. Biden replied, "We're considering it." Assange's wife responded on X saying, "Do the right thing, drop the charges." Now, testing. Why is my testing? Okay. For some reason, my stuff stopped working. Okay. Considering the fact that Joe Biden just off answered this in kind of an off the cuff question and answer, didn't really put any deep thought into it. Also, it hasn't been commented on by anybody who perhaps has any like real power within the federal government. I don't know how much credence we can actually put onto this answer. I mean, Joe Biden says a lot of things all the time, and it doesn't necessarily mean that he's answering what he thinks he's answering or that he's even authorized to say what he's actually saying. So you all know Assange is currently being held in Belmarsh Prison. He's been there since April of 2019, and the U.S. government is still trying to extradite him. And even before that, he had spent several years living in the Ecuadorian embassy since June of 2012. Now, the charges that he's facing could see him put in prison for the rest of his life. They want to charge him under the Espionage Act because he published the Iraq and Afghan war logs. Those war logs essentially shown a spotlight and exposed war crimes that the United States government was involved in committing, and they just simply were not okay with that information getting out. I mean, war crimes are one thing when they're committed by the United States government. They're another thing when they're committed by a despot like, I don't know, Saddam Hussein or something like that. So anyways, I wish Julian Assange the best as well. I hope that we do drop the charges against him. I think it'll be rather interesting if it's Joe Biden that actually does it, or certainly Joe Biden's Justice Department that does it. Because I think it's it arguably correct that it was the Democrats more than anything that were really angry with Julian Assange. I mean, it wasn't until he went after John Podesta and Hillary Clinton that they really made the decision that they had had enough. And so they just wanted to get rid of him altogether. Bit of good news for residents of Washington State. I had actually meant to report on this yesterday, but we didn't get a chance to get to it. A judge has just decided that the high capacity magazine ban in that state is unconstitutional. So what you see here is a typical 30 round mag that is illegal in the state of Washington, or rather it was illegal. Now it is found to be perfectly legal and within the boundaries of the Second Amendment. So this decision was reached by weighing the ban in light of the Supreme Court's Bruin decision, which Bruin decision has been the basis for a lot of arguments that have been made in regard to the Second Amendment and protecting our right to keep and bear arms all across the country. If you don't know what Bruin is, on July 14th, 2022, just about a month after that Bruin decision was handed down, Breitbart News reported that the decision did not bode well for the current round of 21st century gun controls that were being put in place, because it requires that these controls withstand a certain type of testing. They have to have a certain basis in history and also a basis in practice. Now, the Washington Times had pointed out in Justice Thomas's majority decision in the Bruin case, he noted that it was based upon some other previous cases, notably McDonald versus Chicago and the District of Columbia versus Heller. Now, Thomas wrote in his decision, the test courts must apply is whether a firearm restriction would have seemed reasonable to the founding generation that drafted and ratified the Second Amendment. If not, the law must give way to the Constitution. So the Seattle Times pointed out that in the Bruin decision, the state must provide some history of regulation in line with the requirements of Bruin. And in the case of a ban on higher capacity magazines, 30 rounds is totally normal. They failed to do so. And so now if you are a resident of Washington, you can feel free to own these higher capacity mags, and you don't have to worry about anybody busting down your door and coming to take your weapons. Now, Joe Biden, as I said, he has a habit of saying things just to say them. It's almost like he likes the words coming out of his mouth. He likes the sound of himself speaking, because his words have oftentimes no basis in fact or reality. Now, he sat down for a one-on-one interview with the Democrat-infected Spanish language channel Univision, and during that interview, he took the opportunity to once again attack the Second Amendment. And he told the host of this interview that he used to teach law school. He said, "I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon." That's also another favorite one that Joe Biden likes to say. But this is actually a brazen lie, because if you do the research and you look into Joe Biden's history, you'll find that he never taught a single class. You'll also find that you actually can own a cannon. There is no banning on cannon ownership. And what's funny is that since we live in an area where there have been settlements for hundreds of years, you go to St. Augustine, you're going to find cannons just around town. And nobody's running around and saying, you know, "Hey, gun control, we got to get rid of these cannons. They're weapons of war. Somebody might use them for an insurrection." That just doesn't actually happen. But what really happened is that Joe Biden was paid $1 million by the University of Pennsylvania. He set up an office there, the Penn Biden Center. But the truth is, he never taught a single class. He never showed up. He never gave anybody a test. He never graded any quizzes. He was never a professor. He was never a teacher. And he never did any of that either prior to, during, or after his time as vice president. The only thing Joe Biden was ever paid to do was to give a few speeches, and he never taught a single class. So that is really worth mentioning. So, and I bring this up in light of Joe Biden's answer about looking at the possibility of dropping charges against Julian Assange, because is he really looking to drop charges? I mean, maybe, but until it happens, I'm not putting any credence in it. But what I can tell you is that he definitely wasn't a professor, and he definitely never taught the Second Amendment. And you definitely can buy a cannon if you feel so inclined. Joe Biden has this opinion that the Second Amendment is not absolute, that in fact, no amendment is absolute. But the language of the founders is remarkably clear. And when you actually read it, then I think you'll find that the truth is very different from what Joe Biden attempts to recommend it as. Do you guys remember Ron Klein? Ron Klein used to be like a bigwig in the Biden regime at the very beginning. Well, somehow Ron Klein was caught on tape trashing the Biden regime and talking about the sad state of the country. He was at one time the chief of staff, and during a recent event, I guess he was recorded complaining that the president is too focused on taking victory laps on things like infrastructure projects and that he's actually not doing enough to address the immediate concerns of voters, such as the issue of gas prices, such as the issue of grocery prices. And we actually have some audio of that. So I'd like to hear Ron Klein in his own words, if we could. I'm sorry. I thought that we had that here. Where is it? We have to go to Politico. And apparently we don't have it at Politico either. Okay, well, I can just read the quote. Let's just read the quote. So he said, I think the president is out there too much talking about bridges. Good job, Biden. Good job. He does two or three events a week where he's cutting a ribbon on a bridge. And here's a bridge. Like I tell you, if you go into a grocery store, you go to the grocery store and, you know, eggs and milk are expensive. The fact that there's an effing bridge is not something people care about. He's not a congressman. He's not running for Congress. I think it's kind of a fool's errand. I think that it also doesn't get covered that much because, look, it's an effing bridge. Look, it's a bridge. How interesting is the bridge? It's a little interesting, but it's not a lot interesting. Even later on, he was recorded telling the outlet that he does have a little bit of pride in Biden's accomplishments, but I can't tell you what a single one of them is. Again, Biden should be doing what's good for the country. He shouldn't be running around doing victory laps because he was able to spend more money on things that don't necessarily matter. So we're about to have a big bridge built in Baltimore. Too bad Joe Biden won't be around to actually see it. Now, Ron Klein is right. Joe Biden doesn't spend enough time doing what's necessary to help the people of this country. And the people of this country are paying attention. What's really interesting is that the signs are everywhere. You cannot throw a stone in a grocery store without hitting a Trump supporter. You simply can't turn around in a circle with your eyes closed and point your finger out in front of you and stop without pointing at a Trump supporter. Now, we just had one of these MSNBC panels that they're so fond of. They love getting undecided voters together and asking them where their heart is. You know, what are they concerned about? Who are they going to support? And because it's MSDNC, they figure, hey, we got this locked down. We're going to get a whole bunch of people saying that they're going to support Joe Biden. Well, Morning Joe and Mika had quite another thing coming earlier when they put together a panel of undecided voters, and they were asked if they were going to support President Trump. Did they like Trump's economic policies? Was their life better under President Trump? And by a unanimous show of hands, regardless of their race, creed, color, religion, or gender identity, every single one of them raised their hand. Yes, around one in five homeowners and renters said that they are skipping meals to afford housing under Joe Biden. And this is according to a Friday survey that was put together by a real estate company, Redfin. Now, these undecided voters, which included Americans from a number of swing states, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, they all specifically cited housing and inflation because as a reason why they preferred President Trump's policies. I think it's been disastrous for the economy, a Wisconsin voter said. Let's go ahead and give it a watch. I got to get past this ad. Look at that. He's removing wine stains. Okay, more ads. This should be the last ad, and then we should be good to go.
Survey delves into the views of undecided voters in key battleground states ahead of the November election. WIC Insights asked undecided voters in Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin their views on a number of critical issues. On abortion, voters were asked whose policies most closely matched their views. These undecideds were nearly 22% more likely to say President Biden's abortion policies aligned with their own. On who better understands their daily challenges, these undecideds were 5% more likely to say Biden does. But when it comes to their finances, these undecided voters were 9% more likely to say Donald Trump is better for their bottom line. A lot to go through here. Joining us now, the CEO and founder of WIC Insights, David Burrell.
All right, let me get to the actual spot where they are speaking to the voters themselves, because that's the part that really matters. The economy is the only thing that matters. It's the economy, stupid. You know, not everybody is trying to get an abortion, but everybody is trying to pay their bills, and everybody is trying to make sure their home is taken care of.
Being President Biden another term. Take a look.
I agree with this.
Wait a second. Somebody says no sound. Are you really not getting any sound? Because there is definitely sound. Is anybody, is there only one person not getting sound? Because there's definitely sound. Please. 5x5. Thank you, Chrono.
It's an abortion. I mean, for me, that's probably the only positive I have right now.
What other people think? What do you see as the best argument for another term for President Biden?
I agree with you. Yeah, that's the only positive thing I've got going for him.
He definitely, like, shows more care towards disenfranchised people. Like, he's not one of the, hey, you know, you're on your own kind of people. And I personally agree with, you know, like, we should be supporting people who need support, and it should be kind of a collective good sort of thing. And I think, like, you know, he's not a socialist, but Biden definitely, you know, represents that far more than Trump does. And that's the case, I would say.
I like what he did with loan forgiveness for college students and with their debt from loans for college.
I want to point out, because I think this is really important, on every other issue besides the economy, these people are classic Democrats. Okay, they want their bills paid by somebody else. They want the right to kill a baby anytime they need to. They want socialist policies. But all of those terrible Democrat policies are what led to the economy being so terrible and why Donald Trump is preferred. So when you go to the ballot box, are you thinking, geez, you know, the majority of people in the country, think about this. Are most of those people going to the ballot box and saying, God, you know what? You know, I know that I can't pay my bills. I'm having to skip meals. I can't pay for my kid to go to college, even though they're really smart. And, you know, they can't get a scholarship because they're white. But I want to make sure that at some point in the future, I'm 50 years old, but I want to make sure at some point in the future, I might want to get an abortion. I want to make sure that my daughter is able to kill my grandchild. So I'm just going to vote for Joe Biden instead of voting for Donald Trump, who I know is going to produce a better condition economically for me, my children, and my grandchildren. No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen. People go into the ballot box and they say, what's going to make my life arguably and demonstrably better tomorrow? Jim Kyle said, did you know AJ Cummings married those two clowns? I don't know who AJ Cummings is, but I'm assuming you're talking about Morning Joe and Mika.
I think that was something positive he was trying to do.
I think he's doing well with the carbon credits and the environmental issues.
Gives a shit.
I think he represents something of a safe status quo choice. If that's a good thing or not, I'm not really certain.
David, is the bottom line here? He's not.
Did you see his face? He was like, we don't like hearing all that. Doesn't sound like it's too good of a shot for Joe Biden. Let's talk about the economy, stupid.
Economy. Take a listen.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
It's right here. If you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally, raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody. President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. Said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of? Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but you can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to you know, invest and start moving around.
And Virginia, just staying with you, because Pennsylvania is near and dear to Joe Biden's heart. Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down, but like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward. Even if you try.
Nobody's going anywhere because Joe Biden has been a spectacular failure. And when it comes to November, voters are going to vote with their wallets, and the smart ones are going to vote with their brains. Now, these people being classic left-wing liberals, they care about all of these things that are objectively bad for the country. What they don't understand and what they fail to realize, and hopefully soon they will, is that all of these other things that they're asking for, carbon credits, who gives a shit about carbon credits? Okay, how does that improve your life? It doesn't improve your life. Guess what, woman? Those carbon credits are why your gas prices are so high. Dirk McGuirkin says, I didn't get it until just now. The resurfacing of the abortion debate is about killing the Republican Party and therefore the Uniparty. We will never get a human life amendment through the GOP. No, we definitely won't get a human life amendment through the GOP. But I also think that the resurfacing of the abortion argument was designed to try to take as much support away from Donald Trump as possible. You see, the mainstream media has been arguing that Donald Trump was going to outlaw abortion. What did he do? He came out and said, I'm not going to outlaw abortion. My stance on abortion is exactly what it was before. So what did he do? He proved that the mainstream media, once again, were liars. So what are they now going to have to scare people with about Donald Trump? Oh, the economy's going to be better? You're going to be able to afford things again. You're not going to have to skip meals and decide whether or not you're going to pay your bills this month. Wow. Okay. They've got nothing. They've got absolutely nothing. The abortion issue was the only thing. If Donald Trump would have come forward and said, as soon as I get elected, we're going to outlaw abortion in every single state and we're going to do this and that. Do you think that Joe Biden and the current GOP and the current Democrats, the Uniparty, would have allowed what stands in place now to stand? Or do you think they would have done something to enshrine abortion at the federal level to ensure that no matter what happens in November, when Donald Trump comes back, there's nothing he can do because they've already made it federal law. They have been unable to make it federal law. The Republicans have been unable to specifically enshrine life. Nobody's willing to take a hard stance on it because it's immediately going to split the country. So this is an issue that's going to have to be dealt with on a state-by-state basis. And I know people are repulsed by that idea. But I am interested in saving as many lives as possible, even if that means you start someplace and go out from there. You have to spread the efforts out. It's like baby steps. Everybody wants a grand gesture. Everybody wants something now. Well, guess what? That's not how life works. Okay? We didn't get to this point overnight. We got to this point over decades of mismanagement of the government and reduction in the essential perception of the sanctity of life. We have to build that back up to get people on the same page as us. Otherwise, nothing's going to change, and they're just going to keep killing babies everywhere they can. Guess what? Arizona just went to and thank you, number one, Indiana Dad. Arizona just did exactly what I'm talking about. They basically outlawed every single type of abortion unless it is going to jeopardize the life of the mother. That I can absolutely understand. How can you ask someone to carry on with a pregnancy if it's going to inevitably kill them? Then who's going to be there to raise the baby? I mean, you know, it's one of those arguments. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a train coming towards two tracks. Okay, it's going to split, and you've got people on both sides. Well, which lever do you pull? Who do you choose to kill? All right. I mean, like, you've already got one person who is alive. Perhaps they can have that baby in a in an IVF form, have a surrogate carry it or something like that. I think that this is exactly what we're going to see in every single state. Arizona just did it right. Everybody else needs to take a note from Arizona and get with their current legislators or run for office themselves and sanctify life in their state. And then if the Democrats want to enshrine abortion as some sort of human right in the state of California, okay, well, then you got to get rid of those people who are doing that in that state, and you need to get on the same page as Arizona. It's something that can be done. But to do it at the federal level, it supersedes the states' rights argument, and I am of the opinion that we cannot be states' rights on certain things and states' rights on other things. I said the other day, and Wild Boar said it was a terrible idea. I don't know why it's a terrible idea. If there is a single constitutional amendment or some addition of language to the Constitution that specifies when life begins, and so when the promise of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is to be granted to somebody, I think that would be a great idea. Just because you make some sort of notation that conception is the start of life, and so therefore the Constitution protects that life from the moment that it is created, that doesn't mean that you have to put in a whole bunch of other stuff. People get very nervous about adding or subtracting from the Constitution, and I get it, okay? But this to me seems like a very simple thing to do. Very, very simple thing to do. Dirk McGurkin, we banned slavery at the federal level, though. Yeah, well, we also fought a war over slavery. If we fight a war over abortion, then we can go ahead and do it that way as well. But right now, we have different laws in every single state, and the issue was that with Roe versus Wade, that was an unconstitutional mandate forcing certain states to go ahead and do this. Now, again, this is an issue of life. They have not defined when life begins. I believe life begins at conception, so we're not going to, you know, have any disagreements there. But it's just about putting it down in a legal setting. So if Donald Trump would have come out and said, I'm going to ban all abortion, Joe Biden would have passed a presidential proclamation. He would have written an executive order saying abortion is legal up until 8 months of age in every single state. And then you would have had God knows how many babies murdered before Donald Trump even comes back and has a chance to do something about it. Would he even be able to? It's a huge issue, and it's way more complicated than people give it credit for. But I think that Donald Trump played it the best way that he could. Let's do what Arizona did. What are you going to do in your state? All right. So what's interesting, too, is that the Democrats are so worried about Joe Biden's chances in November. They're also now attacking RFK Jr. They want his running mate to leave the race because they believe that she is a threat to Joe Biden, that she is so liberal that liberals would rather vote for her because she is RFK Jr.'s running mate. So they want her to step aside so that then Donald Trump will not be as big of a threat to Joe Biden. Democrats are, they're hoping, will end up voting for Joe Biden. Ro Khanna, I believe he's from California, he said, while I completely respect third parties and the right for anyone to run for public office, I am deeply concerned that RFK Jr.'s name on the ballot in swing states could tilt the election in Donald Trump's favor. Well, Mr. Khanna, I am not concerned about that. In fact, I am counting on it. I think that's exactly what's going to happen. That's what I've said from the very beginning, because people who support Donald Trump are not going to vote for RFK Jr. And anyone who was considering voting for RFK Jr., if they found themselves to be conservative or at least not a total left-wing nutjob, there's no way they're going to vote for him now that he's got that broad running with him. So Mr. Khanna pointed out from recent polling that President Trump was favored by more respondents if Mr. Kennedy and other outside candidates were included in the race. So that is from a poll by Marquette Law School. It was found that registered voters were evenly divided between Trump and Biden, but if the other candidates were included, President Trump had a 41% to 38% edge, with Mr. Kennedy coming in third place with 14%. Now, the running mate for RFK Jr., Miss Shanahan, said that she recently spoke to Mr. Khanna. He had actually congratulated her on being named the running mate. She said, clearly, Roe has changed his stance based on pressure from the party. I hope he understands how anti-democratic it is to ask someone to step down from a race that empowers the American public to make their own decisions. I am very disappointed that he's been pressured into issuing this letter to me publicly. He could have called me privately. He has a direct line. Now, Mr. Khanna responded on Twitter, said, no one is saying Nicole doesn't have the right to run, but it is Democratic to try to persuade her that she should support Biden instead of giving continuing on, given the stakes. Now, Mr. Kennedy said, I have always admired Ro Khanna. His flip-flop here is disappointing. The party has the power to bludgeon men of character into wavering. Now, of course, it was pronounced previously in March that Miss Shanahan was going to be Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s running mate. And the reason that we don't like her is that she's donated millions of dollars to major left-wing causes. She's also donated many, many millions of dollars to RFK Jr.'s campaign. And Mr. Kennedy originally launched his presidential bid as a Democrat, but he was forced to drop out because Joe Biden was so threatened by him at that time. He wanted to make sure that he would never be able to get on the ballots. So here we are. And the Republican Party under Donald Trump is stronger than ever as a result of RFK Jr. choosing this ultra left-wing radical running mate. I think RFK Jr. is... I mean, he is what he is. I mean, he's a Democrat at heart. I mean, he's got bad takes. He's become more educated on certain things, but not educated on enough things to be a real contender or even a partner for Donald Trump. Could he have a place in the administration for certain things? Maybe. I tend to think he's more morally unambiguous than the majority of Democrats. But again, I think he's got some bad takes on some things that are really, really important. All right, you guys, we have to take a break for the second half of the show. Give me 2 minutes and we'll be right back on the other side. Warnings of a recession are growing louder as we near sell in May and go away. All signs appear to point to a sizable downturn for the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ. Now, meanwhile, gold prices have been hitting all-time highs and the rally is far from over. Now, y'all know silver is always late to the party, but once it finds momentum, it can easily outperform gold. So protect your retirement with gold or place a bullish bet on silver. Call the proud Americans of the Patriot Gold Group today before it's too late. Just mention Red Pill 78 and this show, Red Pill News, and you're always going to get best-in-class service from Patriots protecting Patriots. Patriot Gold Group has the no-fee for life IRA, where your IRA or 401k can be in physical gold and silver, and you just might be eligible for that no fee for life IRA on qualifying rollovers. So give them a call today at 888-857-6092 and get your free investor guide today. Patriot Gold Group is a Consumer Affairs top-rated gold IRA dealer for 7 years in a row. Call them today at 888-857-6092. And when you support my sponsors, you support this channel. So someone in the chat had asked if there was a deadline to declare a presidential running mate. As far as I know, there isn't. And I have to be very honest, I don't think it matters for Donald Trump. And I've said this for a very long time. People are not voting for the person that Donald Trump is running with. I mean, at this point, you either support Donald Trump or you support the wholesale implosion of the United States of America. I don't think it matters at all. I think Donald Trump is going to choose the person that he believes is best. I don't think he's going to be influenced by the National Party. I think that he now controls the RNC. If anything, I mean, he's the one controlling the party itself. I mean, he's controlling the direction. He's controlling the policy. He's controlling the decisions that they're making. I mean, Michael Whatley, I mean, so far he's been training lawyers. He's told people that they have to be in the room for the counts. They can't leave. They got to be ready to challenge. I mean, Lara Trump is there. She's obviously going to bat for the Trump team. So Donald Trump is going to choose someone who's going to be loyal. He's going to choose someone that's going to be America first. It's not going to be somebody that I think we feel is a concession, because he doesn't need to concede to anybody. Donald Trump told us exactly what was going to happen if Joe Biden made it into Washington, D.C., and he was 100% right. You, I, everybody here, we all knew exactly what was going to happen. The rest of the country is now catching up with us, and it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who Donald Trump chooses as a running mate, because it's going to be Trump all the way. That's why he hasn't done it. He just doesn't care. You're voting for Trump. You're not voting for anybody else, are you? Right? he could pick a Big Mac for VP and I still vote for him. I think that most people feel that way. That's the case. Yeah. All right. So let's talk a little bit about the border, because we've got some movement on the Alejandro Mayorkas situation. So remember when Joe Biden said that he needed additional powers from Congress along with some $60 billion in aid to Ukraine before he could have the authority to act on the border? Well, since that time, it's become very clear that as president of the United States of America, he could shut down that border at any time. He could pretty much do anything within reason. So now Joe Biden is apparently being forced to examine what powers he can take to close the border, because we've had record numbers of illegals ever since Joe Biden took office, and that number has been climbing every single day. Obviously, there's been a very public fight at Eagle Pass between the Texas government and the federal government. And of course, so many states all around the country are putting pressure on the Biden regime, direct pressure, because they're all feeling the pinch. They're all being forced to deal with the inaction of the Biden regime. And virtually every single day, I am forced to come on this channel and deliver new news to you about some insane illegal who had a known criminal record, who had known gang affiliations, and who was allowed to enter into the United States of America. Maybe even at one time was in the custody of the federal government or a state government or a local police agency, and they were forced to let them go. And what happened when they let them go? Well, they raped a child, or they murdered a woman. They murdered someone's daughter. They murdered someone's mother. They kidnapped somebody's father and they chopped him up and threw him in a swamp in Long Island. It happens every single day. So Joe Biden just recently in an interview indicated that he is assessing the extent of what executive powers he has. Don't even give me that bullshit. He knows exactly what he can do. He knows exactly what he needs to do. But potentially closing down the U.S.-Mexico border is basically the deal that we have before us right now. It's quite clear that nothing short of a full-scale shutdown and a building of, and the completion rather, of that big, beautiful wall, that's the only thing that is going to stop it at this point. If Joe Biden announces that no further border crossings are going to be allowed to happen until, I don't know, say this time next year, then all of those illegals that are on their way are basically just going to sit by, bide their time. Maybe they're not going to try. Maybe they're going to try, but certainly it's going to stem that flow. Right now, this is a giant carotid artery at the southern border, and the illegals that are pouring through it represent the blood of the American people. Penny says, yes, I would vote for him regardless of VP pick. However, it does matter. He will be 78 years old when elected. He could expire. Also, we need a VP that can learn, stand firm, and win in 2028, 2032. So let me be super clear. I agree with everything you're saying, Penny. When I say it doesn't matter, it means that I have full trust in who President Trump is going to choose. I know that. I know that he is going to choose somebody. He needs to choose somebody that could do the job if he wasn't there. Somebody who will be able to be his heir apparent and run for president in the next two election seasons. The reason I say it doesn't care is because I know that Donald Trump has already learned how Washington, D.C. operates. I am one of those people who believe that he was foisted upon him, Mike Pence, back in 2016. Mike Pence, the head of the U.S. Governors Association. Mike Pence, who was just kind of like this milquetoast Republican governor from Indiana. I didn't think Mike Pence was anything special. I mean, I was like, who the hell's Mike Pence? I know nothing about this guy, and I didn't really care at that point. But, you know, I think that no matter who Donald Trump chooses, he's going to have already done that calculus of everything you said there. So for me, I don't care, because I believe that Donald Trump is going to make the right decision. That's why I say it doesn't matter, and that's why all of my attention is on something else. Because Donald Trump knows how Washington operates. He knows that he can't have somebody who's going to stab him in the back. He knows he can't have somebody who's recommended to him by Washington, D.C. insiders. He knows it's going to have to be somebody who is going to support the America First agenda, and he knows it's going to have to be somebody who the American people are going to accept as his heir apparent. I can't tell you who that is right now. Got some ideas, definitely got some ideas. But I think Donald Trump has already calculated all of those things out. And so the reason he hasn't bothered to say anything yet is because he wants all of the attention on him. Right now, it's him who's being attacked by the deep state. It's him who's being attacked by Lawfare here in the United States. As soon as he announces somebody else, the attention gets taken off of him and it gives the mainstream media somebody else to talk about. Right now, this is also calculated. Donald Trump is the focus of every single news story, every single day, on every single channel, on every single station all around this country. People are talking about him because there's nobody else to talk about. When they talk about Joe Biden, they talk about what a bad job he's doing. When they talk about Kamala Harris, they talk about how nobody likes her. When they talk about Donald Trump, they talk about how the U.S. government is using its power to try to destroy him. The American people see that. The American people know that Donald Trump has now learned how to play politics in Washington, D.C. And so to me, that's why it doesn't matter, because I don't care. He's going to do it, and he's going to do exactly what he needs to do. I am certain that when he chooses his vice presidential running mate, we're all going to say, perfect. No complaints. And yes, it's going to be somebody who will be able to run for president when he's gone. I like Gates. I like a number of people. I'm kind of the opinion that it shouldn't be anybody who's in Congress right now, because we have such a razor thin majority. And let's be honest, many of those people, if not all of them, are going to be compromised in one way or another. Who isn't compromised? Rand Paul. I like Rand Paul. He's in the Senate. We don't have a majority in the Senate. I would absolutely be okay with Rand Paul. I think his monetary policy would be far better. I think his policy on medical would be much, much better. I think his policy on the war machine would be much, much better. So I'd be comfortable with him. I would absolutely love a General Flynn as a vice president. I think General Flynn would make a great president, too. Again, he knows things that I think would be of great assistance, not only to Donald Trump, but also to himself if he were to hold that office. There's quite a few people out there. If you guys think that Donald Trump hasn't been vetting people in the meantime while people are focused on the Lawfare, well, you know, that's definitely not it. I know he's been vetting people. All right. It's just that he's chosen not to announce it because it's a calculated reason why. All right. So continuing. Lindsey Graham. There's no way he's going to choose Lindsey Graham, guys. No butt slut, Graham. Yeah, no way he's going to choose Lindsey Graham. All right, so Biden said initially, without legislative support, he might have to resort to executive action. Now, it was rumored at that time he was just going to give amnesty to everybody. He said, we are examining whether or not I have the power. He said he has no guarantee he has the power without legislation. That's not true. Presidents have shut down the border. Presidents have done mass deportations in the past. They did not need additional legislation. Additional legislation just means additional power centralized. We don't need that. He said, there's no guarantee I can do this on myself without legislation. And some have suggested I should just go ahead and try it. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. But we're trying to work on that right now. Well, I think it's high time you started working on it. I also think that it's hilarious that Joe Biden is now being forced to finally do something about the border crisis after he had started it himself. This is not a story I'm going to get into too deeply, but Joe Biden had given a speech earlier where he discussed the war situation between Hamas and in Israel. And he chose not to mention the hostages. And obviously, that's something that a lot of people are very offended by. I think what they might find even more offensive and even more troubling is that Hamas has just announced that they misplaced 40 Israeli hostages. Now, those hostages are needed so that they can show proof of life, so that they can begin the first rounds of negotiations to get a ceasefire. Without proof of those hostages still being alive, well, the Israeli government has less of a reason to do whatever Palestine and Hamas want them to do. So they currently have announced they have an inability to locate these 40 hostages. And obviously, there are more than just 40. There's about 134 that are being held, but they only know where 60 to 70 of them are. That's quite troubling. And it begs the question, are those people even alive or not. Yeah, Spirit and I think you're right. They don't just misplace 40 hostages. Yeah, they don't just misplace 40 hostages. So, you know, this is getting back to something we talked about earlier, so I'm not going to. J.P. Morgan head Jamie Dimon is basically just saying that all of Joe Biden's economic policies are bad for America. You can't do what he's doing and expect the country to survive. Clearly, Americans are feeling that as well. Very interesting that more and more voters every single day are choosing to self-identify as Republicans. And that, again, is across the board. This is crossing the boundaries of race, gender, ethnicity, all across the board. You've got just a couple of different times throughout history. During the Reagan-Bush era and after 9/11, you had more people who were registered voters that identified as Democrats or Republicans. You know, those specific times, you had more people identifying as Republicans because those very specific eras did a lot to galvanize people around national heritage and patriotism and such. But majority of the time, most people are identify as Democrats. They've been caught up in that Democrat lie. Since about 2003, just over 20 years, Democrats have consistently outnumbered Republicans. And sometimes it's been a wide margin by as much as 10 points. However, a difference is in the air here. And 4 years of Joe Biden destroying the country has really made all that difference. In the run-up to 2020, we had multiple polls that were done showing that more voters across the country identified as Democrats than Republicans, probably because they were listening to the fake news mainstream media. They were caught up again in the Democrat and government propaganda, the narrative lies that were pressed on these people every single day on every single channel. But in that time, I think more and more people have looked out and away from their televisions and toward citizen journalists, towards the alternative media, such as myself and many other people out there who are trying to bring quality information without the same propagandistic liberal bias. I am always honest about my conservative bias, but I'm mostly honest about my love of country. And if it wasn't for the fact that the policies of the current regime were objectively destroying this country, it would just be about being conservative. But really, it's about survival. And in order to survive in this world, you simply cannot engage in the policies of this current regime. We need a return to the policies of the Trump administration. And then even further than that, we need to go much, much further. And we need to excise the cancer that currently sits at the heart of the American Republic. So, Joe Biden is pushing more and more people towards the Republican Party. They have made significant gains against and among voters without a college degree, people in rural areas, obviously white evangelical voters. The Pew Research Center has found this. And at the same time, Democrats have attempted to hold on to key constituencies like black voters and younger voters. However, we've also seen among those demographics, people are also becoming Republicans. College-educated people tend to most likely identify as Democrats, probably because they think because of their liberal arts education and the fact that they listen to NPR, they know something about news. They know something about the truth. But unfortunately, because they're only getting their news from those propaganda mainstream sources, they are just not broken out of that programming yet. But even among those groups, people are moving over. Currently, party ID sits at 49% Democrat and 48% Republican. Very, very close, neck and neck. Again, I always like to remind people, these sorts of surveys always oversample for Democrats. They always want to create some level of voter suppression. They want to make the people reading those surveys believe that they simply don't have a snowball's chance in hell of getting their policies enacted at the federal or even the state level. They want people to believe that the Democrats hold all the power. The truth is, the Democrats only hold the institutional power. They don't hold the power of the people. The people are obviously looking to vote with their conscience. They're looking to vote with their pocketbook. They're looking to vote with sanity. Donald Trump made the world peaceful. Donald Trump made your 401k more valuable. Donald Trump made your lives better in every single respect. We have a lot of work to do once he comes back, but once he does, we are going to excise that cancerous tumor at the heart of Washington, D.C. D.C. is not just a swamp. It's a cesspool. It's a dirty, filthy, stinking hole on the eastern seaboard of the United States of America. D.C. is a filth pit. So polling is also showing that 35% of Hispanics now identify as Republican. 61% identify as Democrat. But that is a drop of 9 full points in Democrat Hispanic support since 2016, with black voters. 12% identify as Republican, while 83% identify as Democrat. That's a 5-point drop in black support for Democrats since 2020. Now, Republicans hold major advantages over the Mutilate Child Party, with evangelical Protestants 85 to 14, Mormons 75 to 23, white people without college degrees 63 to 33, veterans 63 to 35, rural Americans 60 to 35, white men 60 to 39, and those born in the 1940s 54 to 43%. So Biden is attempting to flood America with millions of illegals, likely so that he can use that as a buffer to get as much support as he needs once we get around to the elections. But we are hopefully going to fix that before we get the chance. Now, President Trump just got good news in this gag order that's been put in place by liberal judge Justice Juan Marchand in the New York hush money trial. A New York appeals court judge has permitted the first appellate court division to consider relaxing this sweeping gag order that's stopping President Trump from speaking about things he really should have the right to speak about. They reportedly are looking to decide to delay the criminal trial also, while they consider whether or not this gag appeal should continue. So the trial, which is supposed to start on the 15th, it likely may not start on the 15th. And I'm sure that that's really getting Judge Justice Juan Marchand's panties in a tight little bunch. And of course, he doesn't want anybody talking about his baby girl, his 34-year-old adult daughter who works for Democrats. And of course, you know, I think by proxy, I mean, I would say that Judge Marchand works for Democrats as well. I also love it that they keep posting these much younger pictures of him when his hair wasn't totally gray. So good news for Donald Trump. Also, let's talk about FISA. Like I was saying before the show started, I think that we may have just had a win in terms of FISA. President Donald Trump, in no uncertain terms, demanded that Congress essentially kill FISA because Speaker of the House Mike Johnson was hoping to reauthorize this controversial surveillance law. President Trump on Truth Social said, "Kill FISA. It was illegally used against me and many others. They spied on my campaign. It's not just President Trump and the people in his orbit that FISA was used against. As we found several months ago, FBI agents were using FISA to look at all of us, at many, many people, millions of illegal uses of the FISA court system over the last several years." Now, Mike Johnson was hoping to reauthorize Section 702, and a lot of people were very upset about that. It was unknown, however, how the Congress was going to react when this vote came up. Now, what's interesting is that Johnson, in an effort to bring this bill to the floor and get Congress to vote on it and reauthorize it, he was able to secure a cutout within the FISA bill, essentially forcing the FBI to come and tell Congress if they were going to be spied on. Meanwhile, the FBI would still have the right to spy on average everyday Americans, and absolutely nothing would happen to them for all of the abuses that came before it. And still, nothing has happened to the FBI after all of the abuses of the FISA court system when it came to spying on President Trump and all of the people in his political orbit. So Thomas Massie posted a couple of key passages from this bill. Here is a requirement to the FBI. The director of the FBI shall promptly notify appropriate congressional leadership of any query conducted by the Federal Bureau of Investigation using a query term that is reasonably believed to be the name or other personally identifying information of a member of Congress, and shall also notify the member who is the subject of such query. Notice it says nothing about the abuses of using the FISA system against average, everyday American citizens. As far as I can tell, Mike Johnson was perfectly comfortable with allowing FISA to be used illegally in the exact same manner in which it had up until this point. The chairs and ranking minority members of the Congressional Intelligence Committees must be notified. The Speaker and Minority Leader of the House of Representatives must be notified. The Majority and Minority Leaders of the Senate also must be notified. Now, Thomas Massey said, unfortunately, with this provision in here, it's going to convince a lot of Republicans to reauthorize the FISA statute. Well, a bit of a surprise result ended up taking place. The House actually voted to kill the review of this FISA bill. Speaker Mike Johnson was unable to bring this bill to the floor. The motion to allow the vote on the revised version of FISA was blown out of the water. 19 House Republicans decided to side with Democrats to defeat the rule 228 to 193. So, this is being posed as some type of a bad thing for Mike Johnson and for America. But I feel like it's a win, if I can be perfectly honest. I don't think that FISA should be reauthorized in its current form. I think that FISA needs to be overhauled, and since it is the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, there need to be strict guardrails placed on it to ensure that it's not being used for warrantless wiretapping against American citizens, and certainly not against political people, not against political candidates, not against presidents, not against the people in their direct orbit. Now, Johnson had wanted this House Republican conference meeting scheduled for today to regroup after this attempt to extend the authorization of FISA with these reforms, because they have a deadline of April 19th. They're going to be finished voting for the week, and Republicans have to find the time to work out their differences on the additions or subtractions to FISA. But the reauthorization of FISA is now uncertain. I truly do believe that this is a win. Does anybody here actually think that the federal government doesn't have a way to spy on drug dealers and terrorists outside of the country if they believe they are going to commit some overt act of terrorism? I think the answer is no. I think that FISA for a long time has been used for all the wrong reasons by all the wrong people. And if FISA is going to be reauthorized in this expanded form, and it just keeps expanding, of course, it got worse after 9/11, then there has to be something to rein it in. That is the only way that I'm going to be comfortable with it. That's the only way that a good number of these people are going to be comfortable with it as well. So Speaker Johnson is now going to have to determine what this altered schedule is going to look like. How are they going to juggle things so that they can leave for their 2-week recess? They're going to get another 2-week vacation, guys. They're scheduled for recess Thursday and then April 18th for another week. Now, Johnson insisted that after the vote for FISA's authorization, they could not allow it to lapse. If it is allowed to lapse, then FISA will no longer be in existence for that time where it's lapsed. They won't be able to get warrantless wiretaps on anybody that they want. So they are unfortunately then going to be unable to continue surveilling American citizens who are caught up in surveillance of foreigners. That is a major sticking point for me and for, I would imagine, a lot of people. All right. So an amendment to include warrant requirements would likely pass pretty easily, although there are Republicans who voted against this rule who might insist that the warrant requirement is placed into the underlying bill before allowing it to move to the floor. I think that FISA is a necessary tool which is used to save Americans, probably do good things. But unfortunately, they can't tell us how FISA has been used in a good way. I only know about FISA being used to politically persecute the opposition and to use as a tool to destroy an incoming president. That's the only thing that I'm familiar with FISA doing. As far as I'm aware, FISA has never saved anybody's life. Maybe I'll ask General Flynn about that on Friday. Oh, yeah. Let me just announce that. Friday at 5 p.m., I'm going to have a special edition of Red Pill News Live. General Flynn is going to join me at the front of the show. We're going to have a conversation for about 20 or 30 minutes, and then I'm going to premiere my one-hour documentary about the backstage events, you know, behind the scenes at the premiere of Flynn the movie from last Friday. So make sure that you carve out your 5 p.m. afternoon slot here on Red Pill News for a 5 p.m. time slot coming up in just 2 days. Today is Wednesday. We're going to get an extra show on Friday, and General Flynn is going to be joining me, and you guys are going to witness the world premiere of my very first documentary production, which I'm actually pretty excited about. I think it's really, really good. And I also have a bunch of questions for General Flynn from the premiere of the movie that I didn't get a chance to ask him, because at the end of the day, I had to leave. I was about to pass out, and I had a 3.5-hour drive ahead of me. I almost didn't make it home, if I can be perfectly honest with you. My mom's probably going to hate that I said that, but I'm just being honest. Sean Joe says, hey, Zach. Hey, Sean Joe. How you doing, buddy? Thank you so much. Appreciate you. Let me also say thank you to Oinker Space over on Pilled. He says, you rock, Zach. Thank you very much, Oinker. Thank you to Sean Joe for dropping a can and a cookie and a cookie, and Judy the Lady Pug for dropping a cookie as well. Porpoiseful, thank you for the cookie. Sean Joe, thank you, and thank Porpoiseful. And thank you to Mighty Patriot for the phone. Thank you to Sean Joe for two cookies and Porpoiseful for a cookie as well. All right, man. Yes, I hope you guys are ready. I'm super excited to have General Flynn back on the show. I was just joking around with somebody earlier today. As many times as I've been like at events with General Flynn, I have never thought to ask him for a picture. And just like every time I see somebody, like, you know, I've got friends like, I saw General Flynn last night. I got a picture with him. And they show it. And I'm like, how do I keep forgetting to do this? Anyways, I think having him on the show twice in a 2-week period, I think that's pretty cool. All right, so the question now becomes, how are they going to get FISA through? Clearly, it cannot be allowed to continue on in its current incarnation. There is a fix. But Mike Johnson, it appears to me, is very possibly being controlled in some fashion by an element of the intelligence community. I think that he has really done little for the American people. I think that he's basically been business as usual. He's kind of been a McCarthy 2.0. Sure, you got some footage released from the events of January 6th, but, you know, even that is questionable. Mike Johnson, I think, has been not what we need in the Speaker of the House. I think I would love to have Matt Gaetz as Speaker of the House. Just that's me personally. Okay. Yes, Friday, 5 p.m., brand new interview with General Flynn and the world premiere of my behind-the-scenes documentary at the premiere of Flynn, the movie. All right. I mentioned Rand Paul earlier, and I think that Penny said something like he doesn't answer emails. Rand Paul is probably one of the most popular senators out there. So I can't blame him for not personally attending to the emails that come in. I'm sure that he has somebody who's actually like reading them, and I would assume that if it's something that needs to be addressed, they probably do. But I'll tell you what, Rand Paul is one of the only people in Washington, D.C. standing up for what's right when it comes to the rights and responsibilities that the federal government has to keep the people safe. Rand Paul he is a U.S. senator. He's also a doctor of ophthalmology. He released this new report yesterday where during his investigation of what actually happened during the pandemic, the creation of the biological weapon known as COVID-19, he discovered no fewer than 15 different federal agencies knew all about the Wuhan Institute of Virology in China. They also knew, proof positive, 100%, they were trying to create a COVID-19 virus, and they knew it since 2018. Now, I am not surprised to learn that. I think the reason they didn't say anything is because they were all aware that this was going to be a biological weapon unleashed upon the people of this country and also unleashed upon the presidency of Donald Trump. Penny says, no one attends to his emails, and we are his constituents. He's our rep. Okay, well, that is unacceptable. That is absolutely unacceptable. Have you tried calling his office? I mean, that's probably a stupid question. If you emailed him and you know that he doesn't respond to emails, then you might have already done that. But yeah, that is actually a little bit surprising. Well, I suppose you can't win them all, but yeah, he really should have some level of communication. All right, so not a single official or employee in any of those 15 agencies revealed the truth to the American people about the pandemic. Not a single one stood up when the regime attempted to gaslight the American people into believing the zoonotic genesis of COVID-19. Nobody stood up when the entirety of America – yes, okay, and that makes sense. Not only that, but nobody bothered to say anything when the entire country was looking around and saying, how did this happen? Or, well, how could we have foreseen this? Well, it's because they did foresee it. They knew that this was coming and they chose not to say anything. It was a calculated choice. It was political choice purely. So Dr. Tony Fauci was allowed to lie to the American people repeatedly. And of course, he was also allowed to make a shit ton of money. He also was responsible for granting millions of dollars in grants in NIH funding to a British scientist in January of 2020. Why did he do that? Well, because he wanted him to keep his mouth shut about the true origins of the biological weapon for COVID-19. On January 31st, 2020, Danish-born and British-educated scientist Christian Andreasen emailed Tony Fauci saying the virus looked man-made. He said some of the features look engineered and the genome looks inconsistent with evolutionary theory. Well, not long after that, on February 4th of 2020, after a call with Dr. Fauci, British scientist Christian Andreasen wrote that the lab leak theory was a conspiracy theory. Look at that. Christian got paid $1.88 million grant and $16.5 million in NIH funding. All it took was a cool $18 million to sell out humanity. Well, good for you, Christian. I hope it was worth it because you're going to burn in hell. So then what happened between January 31st and February 4th of 2020? Well, Anthony Fauci called Dr. Andreasen. He ordered him to publicly say the COVID virus was not man-made. And that doesn't really do anything because we have Andreasen's emails where he spoke about the fact that this definitely looked like it was man-made. In the time since Anthony Fauci called him and threatened him, Dr. Andreasen was one of the most outspoken proponents of the theory that the coronavirus originated from that natural spillover from animals to humans. But when we learned about those emails from Dr. Fauci and Andreasen in January of 2020, well, I mean, it's obvious that Andreasen had come to a completely different conclusion. What do they say? Trust the science, Dr. Andreasen? He told Fauci, the government's top infectious disease expert, that the features in this virus made it look like it had been engineered. You had the furin cleavage site. You had the genetic material from the AIDS virus, from HIV. And of course, he knew about certain work that was being done at the Wuhan Institute of Virology. So the researchers published these results in a paper in the Nature Journal Medicine, in the journal Nature Medicine on March 17th of 2020. This was the paper where they concluded that lab origin was very unlikely. And Dr. Andreasen reiterated this point of view in interviews on Twitter to put him at the center of a continuing controversy over whether or not the virus could have leaked from the Chinese lab. Well, obviously, the emails tell the only story that we need to know. And we can follow the money from Anthony Fauci right into Dr. Andreasen's bank account. And it's quite obvious that $18 million in funding and grant money is enough to keep people silent. I'm sure you remember Dr. Andrew Huff. Andrew Huff was a guest on the show before. He's a government whistleblower. He testified to this fact in 2022 that there was a big trail of money involved. He released this information in a legal report that he signed and created by the Wren's Law Group. Dr. Andrew Huff reported that Andreasen's funding at the Scripps Research Institute decreased from $393,000 per month to increased from $393,000 per month to $800,000 per month after he backed down on that lab leak theory. And then, of course, scientists discovered that the first victims of the COVID-19 pandemic were the researchers at the Fauci-funded Wuhan Institute of Virology. So, of course, everybody knew there was so much money that was involved. I think they actually did a recent overhaul and an accounting, and something like $400 billion was stolen and wasted during the pandemic. I mean, people snuffed out as much money as they possibly could. And of course, the American people and the U.S. government are never going to get any of that back. And so here we are, quite clearly, we are dealing with a corrupt and failed establishment that wants nothing more than for us to shut up, go away, die, and allow them to continue to rule over this little planet called Earth. All right, we're going to end today with our discussion about the impeachment of Alejandro Mayorkas. He was in the hot seat today answering questions in Congress. And one of the things that came up in the last day or so was that Democrats are apparently looking to avoid actually holding an impeachment trial in the Senate. Now, that is unconstitutional. It's never happened before. And Senate Republicans and legal scholars are sounding the alarm on Democrats working to maneuver around having this impeachment trial and essentially spit in the face of the American people. And of course, spit in the face of the House of Representatives, because the House of Representatives back in February impeached Mayorkas on two articles: for a willful and systemic refusal to comply with the law and a breach of the public trust. Obviously, there's been a lot of criticism about him in terms of the influx of foreign nationals that have been entering the United States illegally. Where have they come through? The southern border. The southern border that wasn't manned. The people who were all sent to go do something else. They've at least counted over 7 million illegals coming in during his term in office. Now, these reports indicate that Senate Democrats, who, of course, hold a slim majority, are going to seek to dismiss the articles of impeachment against Mayorkas, and it would allow Republicans in Congress to say that they will oppose this on constitutional grounds. Miller Biz, yes, swamps have a useful purpose, but cesspools are disgusting, toxic areas with no redeeming value. So I offer you greetings from the putrid cesspool of Washington, D.C. Yeah, swamps are natural filters, but a cesspool, it's just a pool of shit, isn't it? It's just a spinning pile of logs in dirty water. So this has never been done before. I don't think there's ever been a time in history where an officer of the federal government was impeached and then sent on to have a trial. And then the people who were supposed to hold the trial just said, yeah, we're not going to do it. Now, what's also interesting is that if they do get this impeachment trial going, there is a group of conservative advocacy groups who are looking to target any GOP senators who vote against convicting Alejandro Mayorkas. And that means primarying them and putting as much pain and fear into their hearts as possible. Because, again, this is a very, very slim majority that the Democrats have. So if we can just convince a couple of Democrats and all of the Republicans to convict Alejandro Mayorkas at the end of a trial, well, then we could go ahead and send him packing and get somebody else in there to do the job. Not that Joe Biden's going to, you know, pick somebody else who's better, but his second in command would automatically step up. And personally, I don't know how anybody could do a worse job than Alejandro Mayorkas has at this point. So Heritage Action is a sister organization of the Heritage Foundation, and they're going to be running vigorous campaigns to ensure that the trial of Mayorkas proceeds this week. Now, we also had new footage and questioning from Mayorkas in Congress earlier today. He showed up to be questioned, and Republican Representative Michael Cloud. Penny, what time Friday? 5 p.m. Yep, 5 p.m. Friday, just like Monday through Thursday. So, yeah, I just figured I'll just do it at 5. It'll be the same schedule. And then I'm also going to be live at 9. So I'll see you here at 5, and then I'll see you home at 9. So He was questioning Mayorkas earlier today during this hearing. He asked him kind of rhetorically what powers Congress had stripped him of to enforce the law at the border. So Mayorkas testified during a hearing before the House Appropriations Committee and the Homeland Security Subcommittee, which was entitled Budget Hearing, Fiscal Year 2025 Request for the Department of Homeland Security. Cloud had questioned Mayorkas about whether he lacked the power and organization to secure the U.S.-Mexico border due to congressional action since he took office. He said, can you speak to any authorities that Congress has removed from you or the president since taking office? Now, that's, of course, in reference to claims by President Joe Biden that he's unsure if he has the power to take certain steps to secure the border, because Biden said, I have to examine what powers I have. There's no way I could do it without any additional powers coming from Congress. So let's go ahead and watch the exchange. Of course, we have to get through the ad. Well, and one more ad. Thank you very much to Sean Joe. Mike Johnson used to do midget porn on the dark web.
Cloud.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to start with a very simple question. What's the name of your department that you are the secretary
of? It's a trick question.
It's the department.
What is the name of the department?
The department, yes.
The Department of Homeland Security.
Department of Homeland Security.
Right.
And your department was stood up when 19 foreign nationals misrepresented who they were and used our infrastructure and our resources to bring a catastrophic attack, of course, on September 11th. Now, your department is tasked with protecting the homeland, and you have done more to turn it into and to prioritize processing than you have protection. When you talk to the Border Patrol agents in Texas who are doing a yeoman's work, doing everything they can with what they are being faced with, they are very frustrated that they have been taken off their job of protecting our borders and have instead been put in the role of processing. Could you speak to any authorities that Congress has removed from you or the president since taking office?
Congressman,
has you mentioned Congress removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office?
Congressman, the point
that's the yes or no question.
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to Border Patrol agents is exactly why.
You're filibustering. I asked you a yes or no question.
Congressman, the
point
that you make.
Congress removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office?
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to Border
Patrol agents. The answer is no. I'd also make the point that you have approximately 20% larger budget than Trump had. The president has made the point that he can't secure the border. He can't get down to – because he is waiting on Congress to move. And I just point that out to belay that and to point out the truth of the fact that he has every single authority as President Trump. He has more resources at his disposal than President Trump, yet he has done everything he can to undermine the security of our border. Have you read the book Unrestricted Warfare or the pamphlet?
Congressman, what is your
it was a report that was written by two colonels in the Chinese Army.
Yep.
Congressman, what is your substantive question about the work of the Department of Homeland Security?
The question is, so is that a yes or no? No.
No. He doesn't know anything about it.
In the pamphlet or the brochure, it's a couple hundred pages long. It talks about the fact that a country would be to take out the United States. You would not try to use kinetic warfare. You would use things like abusing our legal system, attacks on our infrastructure, terrorism,
smuggling warfare,
drug warfare, economic aid warfare. In other words, getting us to overuse and to what the way we beat the Soviet Union was getting them to overspend. It was economic collapse because we got in an arms race with them and they couldn't keep up economically. Right now we are wasting and spending money in ways because and it's leading to our demise. Right now, the number one threat against our country is our fiscal house. Do you have any concerns that China may be engaged with unrestricted warfare in our country?
Congressman, Addressing the challenges that the People's Republic of China poses is one of our highest priorities, and we have a number of lines of effort to address that, whether that is enforcement of the Uyghur Forced Labor Protection Act.
How many Chinese nationals have crossed our border in the last couple years?
And the fight against forced labor, whether that is battling...
That's not Homeland Security. I appreciate that, but that's not Homeland Security.
We are tasked with enforcement of the UFLPA, Congressman. Secondly,
I'm asking you about the border. How many Chinese nationals have crossed our border?
I'd be pleased to provide that data.
It's tens of thousands. It's
the secondly, tens of thousands. Secondly, the threat of cyber attacks.
Right now, crossing our border are tens of thousands of Chinese nationals who are not presently in our country. They are primarily single-aged adult male, military-aged, and they've crossed our border. And you are not doing anything to counteract that.
Boom.
You mentioned expanding lawful pathways. Who makes laws?
Congress.
Congressman, if you must ask me questions, the answers to which you know, allow me to answer it. Congress.
Thank you. You haven't answered the other questions, so I'll just point that out. The issue that we have when it comes to analyzing your budget, and this has been the difficult part, is we look at our budgets and we want to spend money to secure our border. And so we as Congress write the check for security, and then you get it and you turn it into processing, and you turn it into basically human trafficking and aiding and abetting cartels. Ooh, yeah, and all the nefarious action that's happened. So we've had 100,000 people killed from fentanyl, the precursors coming from China. That's about 300 people. That would be like a plane with 300 people a day dying in our country. And now we have cells within our country who at any moment could strike our infrastructure or the other ways of unrestricted warfare that I've mentioned. I would urge you to get a focus on Homeland Security. Be focused on protection. Let's stop the funding for the unnecessary processing. Let's secure our border and put back in place the policies that had led to a secure or almost secure border. Thank you. I yield back.
Well, here's the thing, though. Alejandro Mayorkas, for every hope that I have, is that he's not going to be there anymore to even attempt to address these things. I think that he is mentally and physically unable to address those things. Certainly, he's unwilling. The direction that the country has gone into under his leadership at the Department of Homeland Security has been in one direction and one direction only. That has been wide open borders, completely ignoring all of those elements of that unrestricted warfare, which we see ourselves facing every single day. I mean, how familiar was that? I don't know if you guys have read that, but it's really something that you need to, because it's something that should have been on everybody's mind for a very long time. It ought to be required reading for agents of the federal government. I mean, they need to see that stuff and they need to understand it and they need to be guarding against it. But obviously, their interest does not lie in the same zone as we the people. They are intentionally allowing our country to disintegrate, to fall apart. They are intentionally allowing for these very clear and present dangers to manifest themselves behind our borders in plain sight so that when the time comes, they will be able to activate. I'm hoping that they don't, but the danger is very, very real. All right. Let me say thank you very much to everybody who is hanging out here. Thank you to everybody who has hit that like button. We have just about 3,200 people over there on Rumble and only 600 likes. It would be awesome if before this show ends, we could get to 1,000 likes. It would be awesome if we could get to 2,000 likes. Thank you very much to everybody over there on Pilled who has hit that red pill. Sincerely appreciate you guys. We've got Farts Poseidon says, holy tan man. Yes, I am tan. I am tan. That's for sure. All right. Can you make me a mod on Twitter? I don't know how to make anybody a mod on Twitter. I don't think that there is the ability to make anybody a mod on Twitter. I'm looking at it right now, and I don't think there is a way. So there is no mods. And to be quite honest with you, I don't really want mods. I don't want people getting their comments deleted. I don't want people getting banned from the chats. People had a heavy ban hammer on YouTube, and it always bothered me. And I know I love my mods because they're my mother and my fiance, but I don't want anybody coming in here. I would rather have people with hot takes come into the chat and then get made fun of by the people who have the good takes. All right, you guys, thank you very much, everybody who is on Twitter. If you haven't yet, maybe please hit the heart on the actual tweet, which has the stream. Again, please hit that like button on no matter what platform you're on, because that helps me get the word out. People see it. They say, wow, it's a good show. I should probably watch it. Maybe I should share it. Maybe I should send it to the people who need to have their minds opened up, because I am not an unreasonable man. All I care about is saving America, because if we don't save America, then it's not going to be here for future generations. If you guys would indulge me, let me say one more time, thank you to Zeta Anon over there on Pilled. I'm going to go ahead and hit the gold pill release, and then I will be back tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern on Altered State with my friend Brad. And then I'll be back tomorrow on Badlands at 4 for Taking It Back, at 5 for Red Pill News Live. And then Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern, we have a special live edition of Red Pill News with General Michael Flynn and my backstage at the Flynn premiere documentary that I produced and have been waiting to release. Thank you for all being here. Good luck. God bless. If I don't see you tonight, then hopefully I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.